Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. For just a few minutes this evening, I want us to consider the danger of ignorance. This is the second lesson in our series on the book of Hosea. As we looked at last week, we saw that Hosea is the story of God's love for his disobedient children. A little bit of background. When we think about Hosea and the prophets and the minor prophets, remember the minor prophets are the last 12 books in the Old Testament before we come to that 400-year period of silence. And then John the Baptist appears on the scene, preaching that the kingdom is at hand. When we think about this, there are four places and three times we need to remember. Nineveh and Babylon, Israel and Judah are the places. Then the three times are before the exile to get people to repent, during the exile, and the prophets after the exile. So Hosea was one of the prophets that preached before the exile to get people to repent. We saw last week that the book of Hosea, we see the whole Bible story in the book of Hosea. We see sin, where it's willful disobedience of man to the word of God and the will of God. We see the judgment that God is going to bring on people. And we see this great love. And remember, Hosea is the brokenhearted prophet. God told him to go and marry a woman that was going to be unfaithful to him. She was going to bear children. She was going to become enslaved. He was going to buy her out of slavery. And all of this tore apart his heart. But he learned the lesson of what the children of Israel were doing to God. Some of the social conditions at the time of Hosea, there is great laxness and looseness in personal behavior. People did whatever they wanted to. The leaders set poor examples. The times back then mirror so much what is going on right now. The courts were corrupt. Judges would take bribes and collect excessive fees. Family life was gone. Authority was not respected. The sacredness of the marriage vow had been lost. And when the family is destroyed, society is destroyed. Drunkenness, destroying home life and the people were common. And wealth was in the hands of a few. And when just a few people control wealth, that usually leads to the wealthy oppressing the poor. And we see that Hosea is a very blunt, very graphic book in the description that it uses. God's symbols for sin, an adulterous wife, a wine-inflamed drunkard, a backsliding heifer, a troop of robbers, adulterers, hot as an oven, a cake not turned or someone half-baked, like a silly dove, like a deceitful bow, swallowed up, a vessel wherein is no pleasure, a wild ass. And there are several other phrases that he uses to refer to the people. You don't have to wonder what he's talking about with this. He's very to the point. And we're going to get in and look at what Israel lacked. And we see a lack of knowledge, lack of trust in God, a lack of leadership, and a lack of love for God. So we're going to start this evening and look at this danger of ignorance. They lacked knowledge, they were ignorant. And I'd like to, in chapter 4, read the first 10 verses, and then we'll get in to the lesson. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, They break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beast of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priests. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Friends, there is a danger of ignorance, a danger of not knowing God's word. And God's people are going to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. When we think about this ignorance, one of the first things we need to understand is that ignorance of God is common. Israel had many manifestations of God's wisdom and power in their past. The prophets spoke much about God. God had talked to the patriarchs. There was a law. Everything was made known. But they were ignorant. They had gotten away from God's word. And that's no different than today. We have so much information at our tips of our fingers. We have more information available than any other time. And yet people know so little about God. They are ignorant. Some will say that we cannot know God. God has revealed himself to us in so many ways, not just from the things that we see, but through the word of the prophets, through his own Son, through the Holy Spirit speaking to the apostles. God has revealed everything that we need to know that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. Yet people say that we can't know God. But ignorance of God is common. A lot of people couldn't tell you much about the Bible at all. We did an overview of the Bible. A lot of the people, and it may be no fault of their own, or it may be a fault of their own, but it's just a fact. A lot of people are ignorant of God. Sometimes ignorance of God is willful. You look in verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. It's not that God was not made known to them, but they have rejected it. And Paul says basically the same thing in Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and who was he writing to? He was writing to the Jewish Christians. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. It's not that they don't know God. They don't want to submit to God. If we don't take heed to the Lord's word, we are going to be guilty of this blindness because we love the darkness more than the light. And a lot of people like the darkness, talking about spiritual darkness, because they think that they can do what they want to and God is not going to see them. They are ignorant of God and his presence. So a lot of people are ignorant of God's word. And again, it's not that his word is available. It's the Bible is one of the most popular books ever written, ever published, ever sold. It's not that it's unavailable, but it's often willful ignorance. Sometimes we start telling people something about what God says, and they just say, I don't want to know what the Bible says. I don't want to know what the Bible says about this or that. And it's interesting, too, when you think about ignorance, you go back to the law of Moses, the old law, and there were sins of ignorance. And if it goes into if someone committed a sin of ignorance, if they didn't know about it, and was that person excused? No. They were still held responsible, even though they committed a sin of ignorance. It would just be like if we were traveling somewhere and going through a town, going 55 miles an hour through a certain area, and a police officer pulls us over, and they say, "Don't you know the speed limit's 35? "Well, no, sir, I didn't know that." "Well, I'm sorry, but you violated the law, and there's a penalty for violating the law." So ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance, though, is often willful. Ignorance of God is deadly. My people, verse 6, are destroyed. They are cut off for lack of knowledge. That's what Hosea is trying to get them to see. If you don't repent, God is going to have you taken into captivity. Ignorance is deadly. It's fatal to our spiritual life. God is not mocked. What we sow, we are going to reap. There's going to be this rejection. "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." And friends, when God rejects us, we are without hope. And he's done everything to get us to accept him. And there can be no real fellowship with God, no relationship with God, where his word is ignored. That's the darkness of the heart that cuts off the voice of God when God says, "Do this," and the people say, "No, we're going to do this. We like doing this." Again, it's back to selfishness, to idolatry. So God is rejected. This ignorance leads from glory to shame. Verse 7, "The more they increase, the more they sin against me. I will change their glory into shame." You think about the Israelites. When the Israelites crossed over the Jordan and went in to the land of Canaan, and they were going to Jericho, and what did Rahab say? The people knew the God of Israel. The people knew the kings that they had conquered. The people knew the Israelites coming out of Egypt, and their God brought them out. And they were feared. They were greatly feared among the people. But this glory has turned into shame. And you think about when we understand who God is and everything that he's done for us, and then we reject him, our glory is turned into shame. And they were not glorying in God now. They were glorying in themselves. And what type of God is our God? He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He said, "I will have no other gods before me." We must put God first. Well, this ignorance leads to rejection, leads to shame. It also leads to a fruitless effort. In verse 10, "For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord." No matter how much we engage in some physical activities to satisfy our physical desires, that is not going to give satisfaction like obeying God, like following God, keeping his will. And they were ignorant of this. And what does this ignorance do? It's deadly. It's going to lead to death. We see over and over the downward spiral of sin. It starts off innocent, something looking harmless, and Satan gets a hold of us, and it just takes us more and more and more down that path. And then the end result is spiritual death. Satan cannot satisfy us like God created us to be satisfied. Christ said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, but he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. That's where we are going to get our true satisfaction in life. And we see our friends, our family out chasing after this job, after that, getting more and more of this. Friends, we need to get more and more of God's Word. This is the greatest treasure that we have. And we need to take it and hide it in our heart. We're told to hide it in our heart so that we will not sin against God. We need, you think about hiding something. Why do you hide something? Sometimes you don't want somebody to find it and steal it. We need to take His Word and hide it in our heart so that Satan won't come along and steal it away from us. In Hosea 5, we see with this ignorance that God is going to withdraw His face. What does this mean? It means He is going to withdraw His favor. He's not going to look on His people with favor, but with disfavor. And this is sad. In chapter 5 and verse 6, with their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find Him. He has withdrawn Himself from them. We never want to put ourselves in a position where God is going to turn His face against us. The face of God stands for His presence, His approval, His guidance, His comfort, His help. And how miserable and hopeless the nation would be when God would turn His face from them and not be there for them. Psalm 34:16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And again, is God walking away from Israel? No, they are walking away from God. This is a great love story that we see here. And Hosea sees this so much because of marrying Gomer. This, in plain language, she was a harlot. She was a whore. She was not faithful to him. And Israel was not faithful to God. We need to be able to say, like in Psalm 31:16, make thy face to shine upon us. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. We want God to look on us with favor. But He will not show favor toward us. He will not have His face given to us if we are doing things that are displeasing to Him. And that's what Israel was doing. We went and looked at a partial list of all those things that they were doing that was contrary to God's Word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's that face, the approval, the glory. Exodus 33:14, and He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. We want the presence of God to go with us. We want His face to look on us favorably. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. My presence will go with you. God has given us the Holy Spirit. Not in some miraculous way, but the Holy Spirit has revealed, again, everything that we need to know right here. There's no reason that we should be ignorant of this. Why are people ignorant of God's Word? You know, it's different reasons for different people. Some are just lazy. Again, I've got a Bible. Am I going to open it and read it? Am I not just going to read it? Am I going to study it? Some people are ignorant because they'd rather listen to what somebody says. And there are all kinds of good teaching tools, videos, podcasts, recordings. But friends, you listen to those after you read the Bible. after you get your head in the Bible. We need to open the book and get our head in God's Word so that we know it firsthand. And that goes for what I say too. Don't take my word. Open the Bible and read it for yourself. And then you know what it means. You're confident of it. God is going to look on you with favor when you do it. And see, that's another reason. Some people don't want to know God's word because they don't want to be accountable to it. They don't want to be accountable to it. And they think if I don't know it, I don't have to worry about it then. Some people may be innocently ignorant. They never thought about it. And I've mentioned before, I know of people that were converted out of different religions, and someone would ask them a question, didn't you know you should be doing this or doing that? Well, no. Nobody ever told me. Again, because they came from a religion where their religion was just listening to some person stand up in front of them and say some things, and they never studied the Bible for themselves. We'll be destroyed for that. They had become a snare. God withdrew his face, his favor, because they had become a snare. Instead of being a light, an example, encouraging others to trust and serve the Lord, they'd been a snare, a net, trapping unsuspecting individuals. You get away from God's word, sometimes people are just going to swallow whatever somebody tells them. They're going to swallow it, and they become a snare. Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me, and who does not gather with me scatters abroad. We have to know God's word to be with him. And if we don't, we can't be neutral. We can't straddle the fence. We have to be with him. And the only way we can be with him is to know what his word is. They would not correct their deeds to turn to the glory of God. In verse 4 of chapter 5, they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for their spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. You see, once you let that sin come into your heart and stay there, that's the animal you're going to feed. You want to feed that sin, and you got to turn away from it. And what they had been doing was not allowing them to honor God. And again, it's no different today. And just thinking of all the different religions out there, and there are some, you turn on the TV and you hear people talk about these man-made religions that are evil in their nature, these religions that are evil and do evil practices that when I was growing up, I would have never, ever, in my wildest imagination, thought that things like that would exist today. But there's really nothing new. There was child sacrifice back in the Old Testament. There was all kinds of mutilation and things taking place as people were worshiping these idols, these gods. Another reason people are ignorant, it's not a reason, but they say, I'm too busy. I just don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to learn God's word. And that goes back to our Wednesday evening class on learning to cope with problems. When God is our number one priority, all of these other things are going to fall into place. We say we're too busy. That's true, we're too busy. And if we don't have time for God, he's not going to have time for us. God must be number one. Does that mean God wants us to quit our job and give everything up? No. But God, Christ, has to be the center of our heart. Everything has to revolve around that. Again, when we do that, it makes life so simple. I didn't have to wonder this afternoon, well, should I go at 5 o'clock this afternoon? I didn't have to think a thing about that. It's second nature. because God is put first. The results of God turning his face, Hosea 5:6, with their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. See, they were offering sacrifices, but their sacrifices were vain. It would be like saying, we're coming here to worship, but our worship is vain because we've been living like the devil Monday through Saturday, and then we come here on Sunday to offer our sacrifices of praise to God, but he's not going to accept them. He's turned his face away from us because we aren't following and doing what he said. And no number of sacrifices that we do when our heart is not right with God is going to get God to look on us with favor. We have to repent of that. We have to repent. Verse 11 of chapter 5, Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precept. We see another warning here. We don't want to walk by human precept. We want to walk by the word of God. And when they lost sound, when they stopped listening to God's voice, when they lost sight, when they got off that path and they started listening to man, man will lead you the same place every time. He'll lead you in the wrong place. And you think about all of this leading up to this before they were going into captivity, and they had, God told them, when you go into the land of Canaan, I want you to utterly destroy everybody. Wipe them out. They didn't do that. God told them, I don't want you to take wives from these seven nations. They didn't do that. And when they took wives from these seven nations, those women led them into idolatry. So the Israelites that had been worshiping the true God were now worshiping gods made by hands. That was wrong. Again, God's a jealous God. God's a jealous God. He will not have anybody else before him. And then also when we think about them taking strange wives, the Israelites were mingling their blood with foreign nations. And God wanted a pure bloodline for his son, a pure bloodline for the Messiah to come. And the people, all of this was explained to them, told to them, written down, and they ignored it. They ignored it. And there was warning after warning after warning. Well, they need to seek for a remedy. Verse 13, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, yet he cannot cure you nor heal you of your wound. When we realize that we have gone away from God, sometimes what people do is try to go to the wrong place for help. You stop and think about just the example of water. The example of water in the Bible. Living streams, fountains. You think about an ocean of water, and that ocean of water, think about that representing God and his love and his knowledge and all of his blessings. You think about that ocean representing God, and we go there with a cup, and we take that cup and try to fill it up with God for ourselves. There's so much, and we do not take advantage of it. And what so many do, instead of going to that ocean of God's love and mercy and grace and compassion and blessings, we go to something else that's talked about in the Bible, an old cistern, an old well that's broken. We've had to drill a couple wells in our family in my lifetime, because wells will go dry. They'll be empty. There is a source of water and it dries up. It's gone. The source of God is never ending. And Israel knew that, but they chose to go other places. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. But with all of this, God turning his face, we also see that God waits to seek his face. Hosea 5:15, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face in their affliction. They will earnestly seek me. You see, God has always desired to have a relationship with us. He's always desired to have a covenant relationship with us. And like one of those phrases I read about Israel, like a backsliding heifer, there's a couple thoughts that come to mind with that. And again, like we're calling Israel a heifer, a cow that wasn't faithful to him. Another thought with that too is like the cows, the oxen, were used to tread out grain, and it's like an oxen that would not wear that yoke to do its job. It cast off its yoke. It cast off what it was intended to do, what it was created to do, and it's going to disobey its master. That's what the Israelites did. That's what we do sometimes. But is there any hope for us? Yes, there's hope. There's hope. We've got to turn. We've got to learn God's word. And that's not hard. We've got to turn to God and put our faith and trust in him. Doesn't matter how empty we are, how broken we are. Psalm 23:3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You think about this restoration, there are so many shows on TV. People take old houses and they restore them. They make them like new. People are interested in that. You see these shows with cars. They take these old cars, they restore them, they make them into these unbelievable vehicles. People like that. Don't you want your soul to be restored, to have it made like new again? And Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And what does he say? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Revelation 6:16 says, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. Here we have a contrast in Revelation 6:16. If we are not faithful, we just want the mountains to fall on us and get us out of our misery so that God is not going to find us. We don't want that person that sits on the throne to see us when we are rebellious, when we are not going to submit to him. Friends, the people of Israel were destroyed for lack of knowledge. There's a danger of ignorance. Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. We have no excuse for not knowing God's word. We have no excuse for not obeying God's word. And friend, God, he desires that covenant relationship. He loves us. He did everything for us. He sent his son to be that sacrifice for us. God has, figuratively speaking, poured out his heart, poured out his life, poured out the most important thing, his only begotten son for us. And when we sin, we don't just break God's law. We break his heart. We break his heart. And that's the lesson that Hosea learned with his wife Gomer, this harlot, this whore that would not be faithful to him. But Hosea loved his wife, and he bought her out of slavery. And there are a couple of different relationships in this book we might look at later. But Hosea is a wonderful love story, the brokenhearted prophet. Friends, none of us should be guilty of being ignorant of God's word. He has given it to us. It's easy to read, easy to understand. The only thing that's left is up to us to take it and make application in our lives. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation in God's word, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain.